Title: Composing Phrase Endings That Invite Reloads Advanced. All right, welcome back. This is an advanced composition lesson for drum and bass in Ableton Live, and we're focusing on one very specific superpower: phrase endings that practically demand a reload. Because in DNB, the reload moment isn't luck. It's not the crowd went crazy for no reason. It's engineered. You're setting expectation, building tension, making the hook unmistakable, and then creating a deliberate empty space right where the impact should be. That empty space is the bait. The hook is the receipt. By the end of this, you'll have a 16-bar drop plus a 2-bar turnaround, and 3 different reload-style endings you can swap in. You'll also build a reusable Ableton tool, a reload ender rack that turns phrase endings into a 1-macro performance. Let's set the session up. Set your tempo somewhere between 172 and 176 BPM. I like 174 as a default. Time signature is 4/4. In arrangement view, set your grid so you can work comfortably in 16ths, and also be ready to switch to triplets when you need them. In particular, having 1/8 triplet available is huge for that jungle and math bend tension. Now drop in arrangement markers at bar 1, bar 9, and bar 17. That's your 16-bar phrase math. And color code your groups: drums, bass, music, FX, vocals. It sounds basic, but when you're designing endings, clarity wins. Confusion kills impact. Here's the big reality check. Most reload moments happen at the end of 16 or 32, and they often use a 2-bar turnaround. So we're not just making a cool fill, we're making a repeat cue. Next, you need a signature. No signature, no reload. A reload only makes sense if there's something the listener recognizes instantly. Pick one identity element and commit to it. It can be the 1-bar bass hook, a 2-note stab like a rave chord or hoover, a vocal call, or even a specific drum lick like an amen moment that happens predictably. Here's the key coaching note: don't wait until the ending to introduce your signature. Plant it early. Bars 5 through 12 are perfect. Even if it's subtle, train the ear. A tiny repeating motif every 4 bars works insanely well, because by the time you strip to identity at the end, the listener feels like, yes, that's the thing. In Ableton, create a MIDI track called Signature. Put an instrument rack on it. Wavetable or operator is fine. Then add saturator, drive it maybe 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on. Then EQ 8. If this isn't meant to carry sub, high pass it somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz. Keep it clean down low so it can be soloed without messing the mix. And once it feels right, print it. Freeze and flatten. This is one of those moments where commitment makes you faster and makes the ending hit harder. Reload cues love commitment. Now build a drop phrase that sets up the ending. Think of the drop as a question, and the ending as the punctuation mark. Specifically, bars 13 to 16 should tighten. If you keep everything equally busy all the way through, the ending has no contrast to work with. So for drums in bars 13 to 16, reduce hat busyness slightly in bar 15, then add a classic snare pre-fill in bar 16. Also, make sure you have some ghost note shuffle happening earlier in the drop, because a great trick is removing it near the end so the groove suddenly feels emptier without changing the main pattern. You're basically creating an energy vacuum. Workflow-wise, group your drums into a drum bus. On that bus, add glue compressor with a gentle setting. Attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto, ratio 2:1, and just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Then a saturator, drive 1 to 3 dB, soft clip on. The point here isn't to smash. It's to make the drums feel like one object you can mute cleanly later. Set up a return track for a short room reverb. Decay around 0.4 to 0.8 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 20 milliseconds. High pass at 300 Hz. Low pass around 8 to 10 kHz. Send mainly snare and clap. This matters because reload endings often expose the snare tail. And if your reverb is too long or too boomy, the void won't feel like a void. Now we get to the core technique. This is the whole lesson in 3 words. Impact. Void. Identity. Impact is something big that suggests continuation. Void is you ripping away what they expect to keep rolling. Identity is you presenting the recognizable hook, often naked, like Say It Again. Let's design that as a 2-bar ending. First, impact. In bar 16, early on, like beats 1 to 3, add one big moment, crash plus sub hit, reverse cymbal into a thwack, or a wide stab with a big reverb tail. If you're building an impact stab, here's a solid chain, EQ8 with a high pass around 120 Hz and a small dip around 300 to 500 if it's boxy. Then saturator, drive 3 to 7 dB, then reverb with a 1.8 to 3.5 second decay, size 70 to 90%, high pass around 250, low pass around 9K, then utility to widen it, like 140 to 170%, as long as it's not a monocritical element. Automate the reverb amount for the hit. The goal is to make the impact feel like it splashes into the room. Now the void. This is the reload gap. Hard mute, kick, and sub. Often you'll mute almost everything for a quarter bar to half a bar. You can go full one bar, but it's risky unless your hook is undeniable. Think in DJ logic, a micro gap feels modern and club safe, like an eighth to a quarter bar. A half bar is that classic hold-up moment. A full bar is we are stopping the dance floor, which can be incredible or just awkward. In Ableton, the cleanest way is utility on the drum bus and bass bus, then automate mute or automate gain to minus infinity. Mute is shockingly effective because it's an instant edit. It feels like someone physically grabbed the record. One more pro point. If there's sub rumble during the gap, your void won't read as void. The low end is authority. If it's still there, the crowd doesn't feel the floor drop out. During the void, keep only one tiny element alive to hold the room. That might be vinyl noise, a filtered hat, or a vocal tail. It should feel like air pressure, not like the groove continued. And a really advanced move, make what remains mostly sides, not center. Keep the middle empty. When the drop returns, it feels like the room snaps back into place. Now identity. This is the say it again cue. Right before the restart, or right on the restart, bring the signature back with minimal support. It could be the signature stab alone, a single amen lick, or a bass call with no drums for a beat. Here's a powerful reframing trick. Don't always place the identity on beat 1. Let it land on the end of 4 right before the restart. That makes the downbeat pull feel stronger, like gravity. The listener goes slightly unsure, then you snap them back. If you want that DJ culture vibe, add a tasteful vocal like rewind or wheel it, very controlled. The vocal shouldn't replace the hook, it should underline it. Now let's build 3 ending recipes. You can pick one, but I recommend making all 3 as variations, because it trains your instincts fast. Recipe A. The fake out impact. This is classic modern D&B reload energy. The listener thinks it's going to keep rolling, then you take it away. In bar 16, beat 1 is full groove. Beat 2, add a snare flam, duplicate your snare hit. Place one copy 10 to 20 milliseconds earlier and make it quieter. Beat 3, huge impact. Crash plus stab plus sub hit. Beat 4, total void, no drums, no sub. Then place the signature on the end of 4, right before bar 17. On the sub hit, add a saturator with just 1 to 2 dB of drive so it speaks on smaller systems. Then during the void, you can do a little room inhale trick with noise. Run a noise bed through auto filter in LP24 mode, and sweep it down to maybe 400 to 800 Hz as you approach the restart. It feels like the air got sucked out. Recipe B. The halftime trapdoor. This one is brain-bending because the bi lurches, then begs for the original roll to come back. In bar 16, convert to halftime for one bar. Kick on beat 1, snare on beat 3. Either keep hats minimal at eighth notes or remove them completely, so it really feels like the floor dropped. In Ableton, duplicate your drum clip. In the ending clip, strip the two-step kicks and place a single kick at 1.1.1 and a snare at 1.3.1 within that bar. Let the bass sustain longer notes with less syncopation. It should feel like the track suddenly got heavier and slower, even though the BPM didn't change. Add beat repeat, either on a return or on a percussion group. Set interval to 1 bar, grid to 8th or 16th, chance 20 to 35%, filter on with high pass around 200 Hz. Automated on just for the last half bar. This creates that last second stutter like the system is malfunctioning in a controlled way. Then cut to void. Then identity. Recipe C. The jungle tape pull. This is rewind culture energy. Amen tease. Pitch drag. Vocal call. Silence. In bar 16, add an amen fill for a half bar or a full bar. On the last hit, do a pitch dive. Stock Ableton method. Automate frequency shifter on the drum group or on a resampled amen track. Keep ring mod off. Automate frequency from 0 down to maybe minus 200 to minus 600 Hz over a quarter to half bar. Alternative, clip transpose automation on the amen audio. Automate transpose down 12 semitones over half a bar and use complex pro warp for smoother results. Don't fear artifacts. In jungle, artifacts can be the sauce. You can add vinyl distortion lightly, tracing model, low drive, just to rough the edges. Then do the vocal call and the gap. Then return. Now, let's make this repeatable with the reload ender rack. Create an audio effect rack and put it on your music bus, or on a combined drum plus music bus if you're feeling brave. Build 4 chains. Chain 1 is clean. No change. Chain 2 is narrow plus filter. Auto filter LP24 sweeping from open, like 16 to 18K, down toward 800 HE. Utility width reduced to about 60 to 80%. Chain 3 is smear verb. Reverb 2 to 4 seconds, dry wet 10 to 25%. After the reverb, EQ 8 high pass around 250 so the verb doesn't fill your void with mud. Chain 4 is glitch. Beat repeat at 1/16 grid. Chance around 30%. Auto pan amount 30 to 50%. Rate around 1/8. This chain is for those chaotic DJ grab the deck moments. Now map macro 1. Call attention. Map it to the filter frequency, the beat repeat chance, the reverb dry wet, and the utility width. So one macro movement can narrow the stereo, reduce air, add smear, add glitch, all in a controlled sweep. Teacher tip here. Record yourself writing that macro live. Route your drum and music bus to a resampling track. Record bars 15 through 18 while you perform the ending, then pick the best 1 to 2 seconds and commit it. This almost always sounds more intentional than drawing 12 automation lanes with a mouse. Now arrange it like a real reload moment. A reliable structure is bars 1 to 16, drop A. Bars 17 to 18, the reload ending, your design turnaround. Then bars 19 to 34, drop A again. But here's the rule. When you repeat, change one thing so it feels like a reward, not a remix. A reward. Maybe an extra hat layer. Maybe a different snare layer. Maybe a counter stab tucked in. Maybe the bass call changes slightly in bar 4 or 8. Keep the core identical so it's recognizable, but add a first frame change in the first 200 milliseconds of the restart so the replay feels justified. Let's talk common mistakes to avoid. First, no recognizable hook. If there's no identity, the silence doesn't feel like a reload cue. It feels like your audio interface crashed. Second, the void is too long. Start with a quarter bar or half bar. Earn the full stop. Third, leaving sub-rumble in the gap. Cut it. The void has to be a void. Fourth, over-effexing the ending so it becomes random noise. If the crowd can't grab the moment, they won't want it again. Fifth, phrase math errors. Off by one bar endings are brutal. Your reload needs to land cleanly at 16 or 32. This audio version is shortened for playback.